I'm just going to open the show, and I'm just going to play that song in its entirety. I'm going to pay for the rights to it. I'm going to buy the song in its entirety. I'm going to just play it, and you're all going to enjoy. What do you think about that, Calvin?
Do we have to pay for the rights to it?
I don't know. Probably not. We could probably get away with it one time, but you never know. Somebody might be listening and come after us, and then we're out thousands of dollars instead of whatever it might cost, $50 to play it once. Who knows?
Well, you have me worried because we play this instrumental beginning every week. And
well, no, don't worry about that because there are laws that allow you to play certain clips of pretty much anything as long as you don't exceed a certain amount of time. So I think that's why we loop it there after about 30 seconds. We cut it at 30 and we loop it again. And so it's just like you're not hearing the actual song. You're just hearing a portion of it, which is legal.
Huh, look at you, Matthew Urey, attorney at law.
Attorney at law. This I could be totally bullshitting everyone right now and talking out of my ass. Who knows? But you know what? That's what the man in the subject of our first topic pretty much does in his entire life. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Careless Whispers on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Urey, and that, of course, is Calvin Chamberlain. And we lead off tonight not with a Celtics topic, as we like to do on this show. We will not be talking about the Celtics tonight. No, there are not really any Celtics topics. It's dull. It's dead. The NBA is dead right now. It's boring. But we don't leave with
the Lakers. The Lakers signed that I can't even pronounce his name.
Gian Leon.
Yeah.
Yep. I hear that he guards chairs pretty well, Calvin.
Yeah, he destroys chairs. Anything you could sit down on, forget about it.
Yep, he's good. He's good at playing basketball against chairs.
But
we'll see if he
but Paul
sticks in the NBA this time.
So. I turn it around.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he can't defend that type of chair.
Perhaps you can, though. I already derailed the show.
No, you're not derailing anything. But no, that's a non-story. That you prove my point. The NBA is dead right now. If E is the largest story in the NBA, then it's not worth talking about. But instead, the Olympics just ended, and we're going to talk about one of the most prominent men's U.S. swimmers right now, just making a total ass of himself again. This guy, Calvin, tell me, has there ever been an Olympian that is less intelligent than this man, Ryan Lochte? Do you know one?
I doubt it. I don't know if you are a purveyor of reality TV, something tells me you're not. I am not, but have you ever heard of the reality TV show that Ryan Lochte did a couple years ago called What Would Ryan Lochte Do?
As a matter of fact, I looked this up the other night because I was talking about it with my girlfriend, and we decided to see some of the clips from that show. And we saw like one or two clips, but she's going to try and find it and watch it now because she loves that reality TV stuff, you know, Bachelor, Bachelorette-esque, all that crap. She's watching that. And so now she's going to try and find Ryan Lochte's show. And you know what? I might tune in.
Yeah, so I I'm not a huge fan of reality TV, but I don't remember if I either stumbled across it a couple of times or, you know, stumbled across some sort of soup version of just seeing clips from it. But essentially, Ryan Lochte, even before this incident, he might be one of the dumbest people alive.
Absolutely.
He and that reality show, he's destroying Jessica Simpson in terms of like lack of intelligence, pretty dumb things. He and his friends, I can't remember what the name of it, they had a stupid name, it's a Lockterage or something like that. Yeah, so they tried to coin the catchphrase Jaff.
Yep.
And he would wear shirts.
J-E-A-H.
Jaff. Yeah.
That's what he tries to make it sound like that. Disgusting.
Yeah. Even though I say yeah,
I think you
funny,
mean Jeff.
I don't say yeah there. I just say yeah. So this guy, oh shoot. Great. See, you know,
Can I just explain Gia? Because I actually just Googled dumbest Ryan Lochte quotes, and there's a wonderful article on phillymag.com that I'm going to read from right now. It's spelled J-E-A-H. If you say it like how it's spelled, it's Gia, but that's boring. No one wants to hear that. So you have to really put that emphasis. Actually, I'm sorry. This is how he said it. So you have to really put that emphasis on that J, and then the AH kind of just flows. Emphasis. Make sure you put that emphasis on the J when you say Gia. Gia! Like that? I don't know if I'm doing it right. I wish Ryan Lochte was here.
So, not that I endorse this politically, but I just accidentally kicked over my roommate's bong, which was on the floor.
Uh-oh.
Now, I have water on my carpet, and I'm not happy about it.
That's probably not the most fragrant thing that you could have spilled on the carpet.
Yeah. You just reminded me that I have... Anyway.
Or get some Febreze or something.
Yeah. Don't have that here. But I do have this carpet stuff. It's Long Island linen flavored. In any case. Yeah. So Lochte... really dumb person already. Okay? Goes to the Olympics. You know, I guess he's like our second most decorated swimmer behind third most, really, right? If you got to throw Ledecky in there, but behind Phelps. We all know nobody has thought about Lochte. That show came out, what, like 4 years ago? 3-4 years ago? Nobody has given Ryan Lochte another thought. And he'd probably just fade into obscurity as another one of those, you know, C-list celebrities, because really, who cares about
right.
them, right?
Lochte and his Lockterage.
Yeah. He would have faded from memory. Instead, well, he'll be known for all time, really, as the guy who made up a story about him, about he and his friends being robbed. A story in which, as it turns out, he and his friends kicked in a bathroom, peed all over a gas station, they may or may not have got a gun pulled on them by security, but definitely security accosted them, and then they left, right? So Lochte goes home.
Well, in his defense, he apparently can't control himself when he has to urinate, because one time on that reality show, he told a story about how he just started peeing in his Speedo when he was up to race in the next heat, because he was on the blocks, and he just started peeing. So maybe he just had to really pee all over the walls down there in Rio.
Yeah, do you think, I'm sure it happens, right? Do you think anyone's ever peed in the pool during an Olympic swimming event?
Yeah, probably. I mean, but not like on the blocks, I guess. Wouldn't you wait until you got into the pool? I don't know.
Definitely wait until you get into the pool. Well, here's the opposite question, though. Do you think that's affecting your time? That's slowing you down just a little bit.
Maybe, or maybe it speeds you up a little bit because you're having a little bit of a thrust.
Action. It depends on which way you're pointed. I mean, I hate to be.
Oh, urine
in
jokes.
Any case,
this show is great.
Yeah, this is what our show is tonight because it's August and nobody cares about base. In any case, so Lochte, here's the thing. I don't know if I have. Sympathy that I have for Lochte, but I don't really have sympathy for him, but I guess I can sort of understand where he's coming from, because he didn't like come right out and immediately just tell everyone he was robbed. What happened was is that he told his mom that he was robbed. And, like, I don't know. I just know a lot of people who, like, something happens to them and something did happen to them, and, like it's somewhat of a boring story, and he thinks, you know what, I'll add in all these extra elements to my mom and tell my mom this story of what happened to me in Brazil. And what's the harm? You know what I mean? It'll be a cool story. Maybe I'll tell my friends. But he tells his mom, and then immediately his mom alerts the media.
Right, and this is where the problem is. This is where he becomes back into being one of the dumbest people in the United States of America, I'm convinced. Because, fine, you can elaborate that stuff to your mom, and maybe she does go to the authorities. But how do you stand in front of a camera on live television on NBC and tell the same story to a reporter from Good Morning America or wherever whichever morning show had him on that day that he started telling the story? How do you do it? How do you do that? That to me is like, what? At that point, you got to back off and say, listen, there was a misunderstanding. I was just talking to my mom about it. It's not as big of a deal as I let on to her. Just drop the whole thing. Maybe talk to the authorities yourself, you know, and say, don't worry about it. But he just got himself in a big mess of trouble and got his swimming teammates in a even bigger mess of trouble because they got pulled off a plane after he had already gone back to the United States. So he fled Brazil after this incident, and the rest of them were left behind having to pay their way out of the country, which is it's a shame. But you know what? Bottom line is they got brought to justice because these idiots were defacing property down there and trying to break things. I don't know what got into them. Maybe the special booze down in Brazil. They couldn't handle it or something. All those Bud Lights.
Do you see where the head of the IOC made a statement about how, like, these are just kids, it's no big deal, like, they're just trying to have fun? Like, and then that guy, like, just took a boatload of crap for making that statement. I don't want to say, like, this
they're
this
just
was
kids.
Nothing.
Ryan Lochte is 32 years old. I love to think of myself as a large adult child, and I, like, there are probably many aspects of my life where other people believe that as well, but don't call me a kid. I'm not a kid. I'm a grown ass man. I can own up for the things that I say and do. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, but just to play devil's advocate here, because otherwise the show would be boring. I agree with you. He's not a kid. He's a grown ass man. He's responsible for what he does. At the point in which he filed the police report, then you're probably going to get in trouble for that, and justifiably so. But up until that point, like even to the point where he's like talking to Matt Lauer in the Good Morning America version, his mom tells the media a story, and he just goes along with it. From his perspective, it's like he wasn't actually robbed. He's not like fingering anybody. He's technically not getting anyone in trouble unless you want to say he's getting the nation of Brazil in trouble by making them look bad. I think that's why police are even after him in this situation.
Well, there were reports that people in Brazil were not happy with him and in the United States in general just because of the way that it was going to make people view Brazil. And you know what? I agree in that regard because there are robberies that happen down there that people do or actually don't find out about. And he is sort of making a mockery of it in this way, even if he didn't mean it to be that it becomes a mockery because it's not real. It's like Chicken Little, you know what I mean? It's the sky is falling type of thing. And it's not happening. To him, and people are actually drawn away from the real problems that are happening down there, the actual robberies that are happening, because they're focused on this BS story from a total moron of a person. Just dumb idiot.
But that plays into my point, which is like, that's what Brazil's trying to argue, that they're not that bad. Look, no, nobody actually got robbed. Like, okay, Ryan Lochte didn't get robbed. Your country is still a place where people are getting robbed all the time. Like, it seems to me like a subtle, like, difference to be like, well, this celebrity surrounded by security at an Olympic event, police have cleared out the city, and if somebody robs Ryan Lochte, there's going to be hell to pay. But okay, fine, Ryan Lochte didn't get robbed, great. But like, if you're in Brazil and most of the time, or if you're a native Brazilian, you're 100 times more likely to be robbed. Brazil being, the jilted girlfriend protecting her honor, it's just a weird stance, in my opinion, for Brazil to take. I get why, they didn't want to, they caught him in the lie, but just the defensiveness overall of, you didn't get robbed. That's fine, but, aren't people getting robbed every day in that nation? Aren't they, Rick? Are you muted? Am I muted? Still here. Great. Well, we reached the portion of our show where the Ray Audio Mystery Hour is taking place. Hopefully, he'll pop back in soon. In the meantime, I will just continue on with a further point. So, okay, Lochte, what is he doing? He's, in a way, you can argue he's bringing attention to an issue that, needs attention brought to it, even though he's doing it in a fraudulent manner. I'm not saying that Ryan Lochte is an American hero. I'm just saying he's just, a general hero. Not a hero for the U.S., but a hero for bringing this cause to all of our attention, this cause of people getting robbed and what we can do about it, and the reverse cause of Americans being douches in other countries, and what can we do about that? Keith the Ugly American going to Brazil, peeing all over a gas station, kicking a door in and only giving the gas station owner $51. Can't we get more money out of Brian Lochte to pay this guy? Can we shame him into giving up some more of his money? I know he lost those sponsorship deals, but it's really like Speedo, what are you losing by backing this guy at this point? I understand the Olympics are over, you probably don't even need to have Ryan Lochte, so maybe you lose him anyway. Hopefully I'm talking for a reason, because I have no idea if this is being recorded or not. I suppose I should look, see if Ray sent me a message. Apparently Ray's having headset issues. I'm still currently fine. In any case, the point about Lochte to me is that he did an extremely stupid thing. I don't see it as bad as some people do. I don't see it as this horrible crime. I see it as, him being incompetent, him being a jerk. My favorite part of the entire situation, though, is the fact that he goes on Matt Lauer. First of all, so he and these guys, obviously he decided without asking these guys if he could tell this lie, all right? He tells his mom, it gets out to the media, he just starts doing a media tour. So this is how dumb he is. He follows that media tour up with telling the story about how he's getting robbed, and the robbers made all the other guys lay on the ground and take their money, and Ryan Lochte was the one hero who stood up and he said, I didn't do anything wrong, you can't take my money. And then the guy put the gun in his face and he just said whatever and handed over his money. That's what you do when someone points a gun at you. But the bigger point is if you expect someone to go along with their lie, you have to do something to make them look good in the lie situation. Otherwise it just comes across, it just makes them look even worse. I don't understand why they would support your random lie, especially if you didn't talk to them about it in the first place. All right, I'm running out of things to say about this Lochte situation, so hopefully you'll be back soon. I'll start to go pee, strangely. So in any case, I think that exhausts most of my thoughts on Lochte. I think he lost all his sponsors today. I think he would have lost those sponsors anyway. It just sort of gives ESPN a headline in the slow news time. Not that big of a deal, right? Let's say this never happened and Ryan Lochte just has his, three gold medals. He's not even Michael Phelps, who you can argue is a decorated guy who, maybe he transcends because he looks a little bit like Eli Manning and people are going to remember who he is. Lochte, nobody's going to remember who this guy is no matter what. And, well, now they are going to remember who he is. If anything, the sponsors should be coming to him now, maybe Vitamin Water should come to him and be Ryan Lochte drinks Vitamin Water now and therefore his urine is he's clean. the clean athlete, or what are those home invasion places where like it's always it's like a white guy with a beard like coming to break into your home, but the alarm sounds like Weinlocky could be the white guy trying to break into your home. Maybe he and the three other swimmers just knock on your door, and they're trying to get in. They really have to use the bathroom. They're kicking it in. They're peeing all over your lawn. But luckily, you have Allsafe. And so you call them. An alarm rings. A technician is alerted. Somebody comes to your home within 3 minutes, and Ryan Lochte and his friends are scared away, and you're safe at last. All right, well, this concludes the Ryan Lochte segment of Careless Whispers. Now I'll move on to Michael Phelps and my Michael Phelps rant. I don't really have – here's the thing. It's not that I have a problem with Michael Phelps, although I have somewhat of a problem with – it's really the media and the way they're covering this guy. Okay, Michael Phelps has more Olympic medals than any other athlete of all time, right? He has, 24 medals, and the next guy is, 12 or something. So – good for you, Phelps. That's great. It's an accomplishment. No disrespect. But this notion that this makes him, the greatest or even one of the greatest Olympic athletes of all time, it's ludicrous to me because Michael Phelps, first of all, swimming is something, it's a redundant sport. You do the 100-meter butterfly, you do the 100-meter freestyle, you do the 100-meter backstroke. All of those are just different versions of 100-meter swimming. There's no basketball game. They don't play a 48-minute game of basketball, a 42-minute game of basketball, a 24-minute game, one-on-one, three-on-three. Otherwise, maybe Carmelo Anthony would have, 6 gold medals in this Olympics instead of just the one opportunity he has to win a gold medal, all right? Yeah, he Phelps and Katie Ledecky have such an opportunity to do what they do, the same thing that they're doing in every other situation with slight variances that don't exist in other sports. There's no, even fencing. There's no, one-handed fencing, two-handed fencing. There's not, feet archery or, archery from 50 meters, archery from 100 meters. There's no soccer on a giant soccer field, indoor soccer. There's no Chuck E. Cheese soccer. Swimming is an event that's designed to build up medals for a specific person who's dominant at that sport. And I understand that's fine. Good for Phelps. I like gold medals for the United States, but that doesn't make him the greatest Olympian of all time. In fact, I think for you, if you have to rate Olympians, what you need to do is look at someone's dominance in their sport and how they compare to other athletes in their sport. Ledecky and Bolt, to me, have such a better argument. I just heard Rory Breed, so hopefully that means he's here. Well, yeah, there's such a better argument for, a Ledecky who won her events by basically lapping the field. And Usain Bolt, who's, still running and laughing and, doing handstands on the way to winning the 100 and 200 dash as a man in his 30s. Then there is to support the argument that Phelps is the greatest of all time when he's squeezing out wins and not nearly as dominant. And I don't even know. Maybe the greatest of all time is that Russian, athlete who that Russian wrestler who didn't lose for 30 years. Maybe he's that guy. Why is Phelps a better Olympic athlete than that dude? What are your thoughts? If you're here, you're still not here. Okay. Well. Yeah. Hopefully, Rory is giving Mad Dog. Are you there? Sorry, I'm filibustering because Rory's having some technical issues, so I'm just rambling on about things.
Okay, yeah, you have a lot of good points in there.
Yeah, well, you don't have to respond to anything. Give me what you got. I'll respond to whatever.
Gentlemen, I actually wanted to switch it because this is I don't know if you were going to get into this specific Olympic.
Hang
topic.
On, can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
Bring me back, Rory.
Oh wow! What a disaster! What a great! I'm gonna blame this on the new Windows or something. I just had to just close my browser and restart the thing because my headset popped out and it wouldn't register the microphone. So let's just log this episode in the technical difficulties folder. All right, and nobody ever listened to it again, except for this segment that Mad Dog is going to enlighten us on. Calvin, I heard basically everything you said on Ryan Lochte, and I think we should just leave it at that. And I don't really care about Phelps, so you got your rant out, and that's good. Mad Dog, welcome to the show. I'm back, bitches. And how are you tonight?
I am doing fantastic. It's a it's a fantastic night up here, and I just wanted to call in and talk a little bit about the Olympics. But I want to get into an issue here that I have heard from Stephen A. Smith, Wojo, and Pat Forty, as you know, that this was Mike Krzyzewski's last go around with the Olympics, and this has sort of been getting to me a little bit, and that that Stephen A. Smith recently said on ESPN First Take that Mike Krzyzewski should not have been allowed to coach for three straight Olympics because it's quote unquote an infomercial for Duke. And that this helps so much with recruiting, in that all
it,
of this
stop.
Stuff.
Yeah, Mad Dog. I know. I love the crusade that you're on right now. I'm not going to agree with Ford. I'm on your side here, buddy. So I don't think we need to go on this crusade. I see where you're coming from, though. If they think that Krzyzewski is the best coach to lead Team USA, and that's the guy that they want, then that's fine with me. I don't think this is about Duke getting recruits and just being better or having an edge as far as recruiting is concerned. I'm with you on that one, and it's pretty rare that I defend those Blue Devils, all right? So take this one and put it in your back pocket.
But the thing here is that I wanted to get I wanted to get Calvin's opinion on this because this has been thrown around, and he said today that, and I agree, a coach that went 88-1 during these games versus 11-6 through, I believe it was 2000 and 2004 in these same games. But I would just sort of Calvin's opinion on this and to see what he thinks of this ludicrous ness that's been going on.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways. Yeah, I don't agree with the notion, but I would like to know, so Stephen A. Smith's argument is that no college coach should be coaching the Olympic team. It should only be a professional. It should only be Greg Popovich, because couldn't you hypothetically make the argument then that Popovich, as future head coach of the U.S. Olympic basketball team, doesn't that give the Spurs a heads up in free agency? Because you don't want to play for the guy who's going to choose the team that goes to the Olympics. If you're a borderline Olympian, maybe that pushes you slightly to the Spurs. But apparently Stephen A. Smith doesn't have a problem with that. Look, any coach who coaches the U.S. basketball team is going to get somewhat of a bump out of that. In the case of Krzyzewski, I don't think it's that big of a bump because I think that the visibility of the national team. Look, it's the fact that every player on the national team is a celebrity, essentially. I think that Krzyzewski is, because he's not one of those superstar players, his visibility level is waning, and because he's not a particularly vocal coach, he's not the guy who's on the sidelines just screaming the entire time. I don't think the camera is really focusing on that much in the game. Obviously, people know he's the head coach, and that's good. I'm sure it's not bad for Duke's brand. I'm sure it's fine, but the idea that it's giving him some huge recruiting advantage in college, I find that to be unlikely. And even if it is, it's that advantage that exists is going to have to go to someone. So it's this problem that Krzyzewski's been the coach for so long, or is a problem just that somebody was a college coach?
What the argument was is that you have all of these people like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and all of these people coming out and saying very, very, very nice things, and what all these people this is Wojo and everything that there were some people that actually believed it, and this is completely ludicrous and asinine that he took the job just for this reason, is to become more attractive, is to build the Duke program, and I think it speaks for itself. He's won over 1,000 games and 5 national championships. He doesn't need the U.S. team to be able to recruit. I just think that this is a ridiculous notion.
Well, plus that's also not factoring in. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say I agree that it's completely ridiculous because you know what? When it comes down to this type of thing, the Olympics, it's mostly amateur athletes that go to represent their country. And, I mean, over the years, people in other countries have wanted to see the best basketball players out there, which is why they started introducing the Dream Team in the first place. So, honestly, if you think that a guy is the best coach, just send him out there as well. And as far as him taking the job is concerned and being unethical or whatever it may be and thinking that that's the reason for it, that's outrageous and outlandish and disrespectful because a lot of people, and I'm going to put on my patriotism hat here, a lot of people would relish the fact that they could go to the Olympics and represent their country as the men's basketball coach. You think that he is just taking it for granted and saying, oh, well, now my day job is going to be so much better and I'm going to make my life so much better. No, I think that he goes there with the idea that he's going to be not only representing the country, but you know what? He gets to coach the best basketball players in the world for the most part. Obviously, a couple guys in the NBA that are better than some on the team were not there this year, but he gets to coach the best basketball players in the world, and he has coached them to try and play together as a team, and you can see that he's dedicated to the team, and honestly, if he's putting on a show, he's a damn good actor, because he's what embodies an American going to the Olympics. There are many examples of this Olympics of people that really embody what this nation is supposed to be about. And honestly, Coach K is one of those people because when the team was playing like crap and they were just going around doing this one-on-one stuff, he was very serious, straight-faced. He was not taking it lightly. He said that they were having too much fun. He wanted it to be a little bit more serious. And he just wanted them to work hard and be the best that they could be. So there we go. Patriotism hat off to you, Mike Krzyzewski. Congratulations. Screw everyone else that says you did this for the wrong reasons, because that seems ridiculous to me. In the spirit of the Olympics, Stephen A. Smith, give me a break. Somebody cut this guy's tongue out.
And I completely agree, Rory, and I'll leave you with this. I mean, this is just what it comes down to. It comes down to a lot of people out there hating Duke and trying to find every little thing. The guy has represented the country.
I hate Duke.
with class and integrity. Yeah. But some people worry, unlike you, are completely unreasonable. This entire thing has got me fired up in that people can come out and say this about somebody, and the guy has represented this country with nothing but integrity. He's gone out there and led this team to an 88-1 record, and it's been a tremendous ambassador. And to think that he's just doing this just because he coaches Duke is completely asinine and is completely just one of the stupidest things. And I swear that this could be just trolling and stuff in the media. I don't know what it is, but this has really gotten me fired up over the last couple days. I'll leave you guys with this. Hats off to Coach K in the United States men's basketball team for winning another gold medal. And Mike Krzyzewski should just tell everybody in Guns N' Roses terms out there to get in the ring, because there are a lot of haters out there, and there's a lot of stuff that's and theories that are being thrown around that are coming from blind hate and just a pure nonsensical perspective. But guys, great show. I'm glad you guys are back on the air, and have a great night, guys.
Thanks, man. Yeah, if let me ask you this question. If Mike Krzyzewski's been the Olympic head coach for 12 years now, right? I know three Olympics. Maybe it's not 12 years. Do you have any idea? Right?
Probably a little more than that, because he had to do some prep for the Olympics, right? So it's probably just a couple of years before that, maybe 14 years, give him 15.
Right, it might actually be less, because three Olympics can hypothetically, if he starts at one of the Olympics and ends right now, it could have been 8 years, you know what I mean? But
right, but I'm thinking if he was the coach for all three Olympics, then he had the prep work beforehand. I don't think that they would have just been like, hey, Coach K, tomorrow you're going to start coaching the Olympic basketball team in the Olympics.
Right, no, but the Olympics just ended, so there's no years past this Olympics. So I'm thinking maybe probably like 10 years, regardless of what it is.
Yeah, whatever.
Regardless of what it is. Yeah, the point that I'm making is how many do the proof is in the pudding, right? How many Olympians are Duke players? Kyrie Irving and that's it, right? Is there anybody else?
Right now, I mean, in the past, I don't know if there were any guys on those in the last two teams. I don't believe so. I'd have to look it up, but none are standing out.
Was Elton Brand?
Was a guy like Shane Battier on one of those Olympic teams? I'm not sure off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, the point is he's not exactly like churning out a factory of Olympians over at Duke. You know, like this argument would hold a lot more water if it was Calipari, would it not?
I would say, yeah, probably, and even then I would say go screw Stephen A. Smith, you know, because of everything that I just said about this. But you're right, if you're going through a bunch of superstars and studs, then maybe it's a different story. But even so, I feel like Calipari already has this reputation of producing players like that, so guys like that are going to gravitate towards him. And he doesn't, like Mad Dog said, Krzyzewski doesn't need this to recruit. He's already got a long resume that can back him up. Calipari is the same way. So regardless of Olympic status, I don't think people are going to start to go to Duke more often just because of that. So I think it's ridiculous. I'm glad he brought it up. And one more reason to just dump on Stephen A. Smith. But he mentioned Guns N' Roses, and that reminded me we have this clip.
Your song. What are you singing?
Yeah, what are you singing?
I am singing. We do a double shot, so I'm singing my first two. It's going to be Tricky by Run DMC.
Nice, yeah.
And I'm going to do you got to fight for the right to party.
All right, no Guns N' Roses there.
Okay. One of the best bands of all time, the Beastie Boys.
No Guns N' Roses there. You know what, Calvin? There's a clip somewhere around here of that Nick put together with Paradise City and Mad Dog in it. And if I can find that clip, I'm gonna play it at some point.
We never actually got him to sing, did we?
Think we did.
Futile attempts to get him to sing, we never actually went through with it.
Right. He never actually did it on the air, so we don't have that either. Plus, we're a half-assed podcast, so we don't really have much besides ourselves around here anyway, right?
How dare you, Ray?
How dare I? Because I am on the billing. I'm on the sign. My name is in lights. I can say whatever I want. You can too if you want. What do you want to say?
A surly co-host.
You can say whatever you want too. But I'm sure it'll be bright and sunshiny. What did you say? I was talking over you.
I said I'm the gatekeeper of this podcast.
The gatekeeper. Okay.
Yeah. I protect the listeners from you saying whatever you want.
That's true. That's true. You do back me off quite a bit and then turn me around in a circle, and then I have to put my sock in my mouth or something. That's not a phrase. What is next?
Yeah.
We are going to be discussing... What?
Keep your socks out of your mouth.
Yeah, keep my socks out of my mouth. That's right. We are moving right along in this Olympic discussion because you talked about Michael Phelps and I didn't catch most of it.
No,
and the Ryan Lochte thing was good. So we're done with the Olympics. Congratulations to everybody in the United States because we rocked it again as Olympians. Yep. We. All of us. Collectively, as a country, sent our vibes to Rio and the United States came out ahead. it's that time of year now, Calvin. It's your favorite time of year, and it's my time to sound like a moron and like I don't know what I'm talking about and that I'm not prepared for anything. You know what time of year it is? It's the NFL season, everybody.
Yay.
Anything's
possible.
That's right. Anything goes in the NFL season. Anything goes in the NFL season. You name it. Drugs, rape, violence, guns, murder, all of that stuff. Racing your car down the street. You could probably run into a store and take a bunch of stuff. Thievery. You could cut off a man's hand. You could do whatever you want. If you're in the NFL, you could do whatever you want as long as nobody else sees you do it. Because you won't get punished. That's what I've come to believe in the NFL. And they will pick and choose the stories that they want to put out there. And thus, we are going to have our wonderful NFL season. And we're going to pick some NFL divisional winners tonight. And I'm going to tell you throughout this segment why I hate the NFL. I'm tired of the NFL getting away with everything. All of their players, their random acts of violence and just sweeping things under the rug. Who knows what we haven't even heard about, Calvin? The stories aren't all coming up because the NFL, yes, they have their hands on everything, don't they?
Right,
don't they? Yes. Yes, they do.
They do. You got me. Yes, Murray, they do. There's two questions. One, is there a guy cutting off hands story that I don't know about? Because
no, I'm just rambling off random acts of illegality that you may be able to commit and get away with if you're an NFL player, because they certainly don't want to deal with it, and they'd rather you look away and see a big name player not in a game because of a equipment violation. That's where the root of all of this is, Calvin. The root of all of this is the hypocrisy behind the NFL's penalty system and their punishment system and the dictator that is Roger Goodell, even though he's backed by the owners. Yes, I understand that point. Straw man in the corner over there. The point is, I'm tired of the NFL getting bigger. I'm tired of them not looking at things that matter, like the concussion thing. I feel like they're just pushing it aside. They're putting all this money towards it, but where is the research going? What are they doing? They changed little dinky rules, and they worry about ticket sales and where the next big stadium's going to go. How's Los Angeles looking, by the way? Who cares? It's going to be a money pit out there. That team's going to stink. And you know it.
Oh man, don't get me started. Look, I think you got me started on the Rams. I wanted to make a comment about you saying that NFL players can get away with almost anything as long as nobody sees them. But my question to you is, doesn't that also apply to everybody?
As long as nobody sees you, yeah, I suppose that does apply to everybody. But
yeah,
stop poking holes in my rant. I was having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, what is with your outrage? Let me ask you this, because I'm really curious to know. What percentage of this NFL-related outrage would exist were it not for the Tom Brady fiasco?
Probably, wait, what percentage of my outrage now? Maybe like 60% or 55%. More than a little bit less than half of my outrage is resulting of Tom Brady. You know, I've always had it out for the NFL and Roger Goodell, even before this Deflategate thing. I've always thought that they handle things in a terrible manner. I've always thought that even back to Ray Rice, I thought that they gave him a bad rap, and only after they bumbled the investigation themselves. So they kind of used him as a scapegoat, not that he needs to be defended because what he did was hideous as well. But I think that they kind of threw the book at him in a way that was unprecedented, and then they don't do that for other players. So I feel like that there's no consistency in any of their punishments. And you know what, Calvin? To cross-reference to the NBA right now, people used to criticize the way David Stern handled things and the way that he used to use precedent
and old incidents to mold what his punishment was going to be and what sort of suspensions that he handed down were going to be. But at least he was consistent. Maybe they didn't make, the rules didn't make sense to people, and he thought that people thought that they were ticky-tack things as well back in the NBA when Stern was running the NBA, and he was suspending people for leaving the court, etc. But at least he had a clear written rule about certain incidents, and they followed those rules. The NFL seems like they are writing something down with their right hand, and then they're pissing on it, and then they're giving it to their left hand, and then they're crumpling it up, and they're lighting it on fire, and then they're writing it again with their left hand, and then they're handing it to somebody. They're playing a game of telephone with themselves. It's ridiculous. I'm sick of it.
All right. Well, it sounds fun. It sounds like we're ready for some NFL prediction. Great.
You don't want to talk about the Rams first?
Oh, yeah. I do want to talk about the Rams. Sorry for the echo momentarily.
That's another thing. I could rant on the Rams for 30 seconds, too, if you need me to. Jesus. Who's going to take the Rams? Who's going to take the Rams? Is it going to? Who's going to go to L.A.? Is it going to be the Rams? Is it going to be the Raiders? Is it going to be the Chargers? Who's going to get screwed here? St. Louis, that poor fan base in St. Louis. Goodbye. I mean, I know it happens, but this is purely about greed and money. This is not about trying to improve a franchise because they're not good or because their fan base is unloyal. This is not about if the Chargers had moved, people would have been pissed. That's the only game in town. People love that team out there. I mean, and it's all about money. I had a friend who lived in San Diego, and he said that they had some of the cheapest prices around. Well, you know what? They're still selling out games when some of the opponents come to town. I understand there are blackouts and all that crap. But the bottom line is, this is all about money. The Rams are not going to improve their franchise by moving to Los Angeles, except for their bottom line. And we'll see if the football team's any good, but you tell me, Calvin. Feel free to piggyback on that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I probably wouldn't cry for St. Louis because they stole the team from Los Angeles. Like, you can't have both ways there. You know what I mean?
It's going back and forth.
Yeah. If you feel bad for St. Louis, then you also have to say screw St. Louis. I don't care one way or the other. You know what I care about, Ray? I care about going back to 2015, you know, right around Christmas time, before it was announced that the Rams were coming to Los Angeles. I could walk freely around the city of Los Angeles and its adjacent and neighboring suburbs and walk around on the streets with nary a Rams fan in sight, nary a Rams jersey, nary you know, dorky white guy with a backwards cap on and a Robert Quinn jersey. You know how I know you're a fake fan? Because you're wearing a Robert Quinn jersey. Yeah. Robert Quinn jersey guy, you're the worst. Yeah, nobody. I could just walk the streets freely. Now, everybody, all these poser L.A. fans, I'm just a Rams fan because I'm just an L.A. fan. Now that we got a team, I'm going to like whatever team we get. I hope, I pray to God, I mean, I really don't, because I don't want this to happen, but there's a huge part of me that hopes that the Chargers are going to end up here next year, which is being talked about as still a huge possibility. And so then all of a sudden, all these new Rams fans are going to be hypocrites because we're going to have two teams here, and maybe they'll also have to be Chargers fans. Or maybe some of these
same
Chargers fans.
Isn't that the idea that there's definitely going to be another team sharing that stadium, and that's because Kroenke wants more money, and regardless of which team it's going to be, there's going to be a second team? Isn't that the thought of going to L.A. in the first place?
Yeah, exactly right. At least, it's not going to be as good as if it's the Raiders, because at least L.A. is loaded with Raiders fans, and those people have been fans of whatever team they are. Look, the guy who's now walking around L.A., the 58-year-old with the Jack Youngblood jersey, you know, respect to you, buddy. Okay, maybe you were disenchanted when the team left L.A. in 1994, And now your team is back, and so you want to embrace a newfound enthusiasm for your Rams. I'm okay with you, but all the rest of you front runners, you're a 24-year-old guy. Unless you just moved from St. Louis, get the hell out of here with your Rams.
Get the hell out of here.
I don't want to see you. Yeah, they're just like they're an angry mob of orange and blue or whatever their colors are. I don't know. I can't be bothered to to even not be colorblind when looking at Rams gear. I can't even bother to have my eyes work when I'm coming across people who are wearing Rams gear because it's the worst. They're fake, obnoxious fans. Now when I go to the bar and I'm trying to watch a game at the bar, trying to get the Giants game, I'm going to have to deal with being overwhelmed by 45 new Rams fans who, at the bar that I go to, have never seen a single Rams fan before in my life. So the Rams and their fans, I already hate the Rams. I don't even care about the Rams at all. There are teams that I hate in the NFL. The Rams have never been on that list. They're immediately already on the list. They're on the list.
Well, I'll tell you right now, they don't have LosAngelesRams.com, so how about that?
Yeah.
They have, man, they're called, Calvin, they are just TheRams.com.
Ugh.
Oh, you don't like TheRams.com? I like that.
I thought it would be LosAngelesRams.com. I went there, and it's a GoDaddy site, so no thank you. It looks like they haven't changed their colors at all. They're white and blue or gold and blue like they were in St. Louis. So good luck with that.
Yeah, they're the same.
They're just
going to
be like UCLA.
How so?
Isn't that what UCLA's colors are?
No, UCLA's colors are like a teal and a white with like a gold trim.
I thought they had some
gold
in there. Oh, yeah, it's a different blue. Okay, fair enough,
yeah,
whatever you have to say. All right, is that it for our double rant here on the NFL? Are we actually going to make some picks here because...
Yeah,
I can't wait to get this over with.
Look at you. I love your excitement for the NFL. Hey, guys, the NFL season's not coming. Everyone else in the world is excited for the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. I like to be the guy that doesn't care about that, you know?
Hey, I get it. Look, people have accused me of being the contrarian from time to time.
Yeah.
I respect that.
I'm the contrarian, too. Yep, I stand in the corner. I'm not going to dance with you. I don't want to sing karaoke unless it's Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight. That's what I'm going to sing. That's it.
Or
otherwise,
Paradise
screw. No, I'm going to. I would love to play some karaoke and sing some karaoke. You want to go do karaoke tonight, Calvin?
No, but next week. Now, you just lock this into karaoke next week. We don't have a lot of
karaoke next week.
Make
sure you pay for the rights
to
the song.
Yeah. Anyone who's listening to this can go to at Green, Team Green Truth on Twitter and request a song that you'd like Matt Verde to sing next week. Or perhaps even me.
That's right. Maybe Calvin will sing the song. Just tweet me at Team
yeah.
Green Truth. I forgot I never gave the phone number. Good thing Mad Dog knows the phone number by now. It's 323-642-1484. You know what? We actually had a caller earlier that I tried to check on, and they dropped off right when we brought Mad Dog on. So I don't know who that was, but if you want to call back, maybe we'll bring you on in the next 40 minutes or so. But that's fine and well. Great. Karaoke next week here on Careless Whispers. Do you want the NFC or the AFC first? What do you say?
Follow your heart, Barry.
Follow my heart.
Let's just face it. Neither of us have any. I don't know who I'm going to pick right now. I have no idea.
you told me to follow my heart, so I got jokes tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That's the ending music to the show for those of you that don't actually listen all the way through. I'm going to start with you tonight. I'm going to start with the NFC East. Why don't you lead this one?
Okay, I will lead this one. Rory, coming up in the rear, as they say. At 5-11, I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles.
Good. I like that. I like the sound of that. You know how much I hate the Eagles, because my freshman roommate in college was a huge Eagles fan, and he was obnoxious. We all know that story. I just can't stand the Eagles. I want them to just be the worst team ever and keep getting the number one draft pick and then keep falling on their face. That's what I want the Eagles to do.
I like when people don't like the Eagles because... I mean, maybe we're gonna have to get this audio clip, but you've seen the Big Lebowski, obviously. But when people don't like the Eagles, I like to reference the part when he's in the taxi cab and the taxi cab driver is playing the Eagles, the band the Eagles, and he says, "I hate the effing Eagles, man."
I had never thought of that before. We definitely need to get that clip because
yeah.
that would go along so well with football season for me. Oh man,
yeah.
That would be epic. I gotta figure that out. We will find
so
that.
That's
your, yes.
Yeah. That's, like,
that's my homework for next week.
When someone references the Eagles in some way. It's just funny to think that he hates the football team. In any case, yeah, the Eagles I have going 5-11. I think, I don't know what you think about him, but I feel like Chip Kelly is kind of a genius, coaching genius. I think San Francisco will be better this year. Like, granted, Philadelphia has a pretty good defense, but you know what else they have? They have Sam Bradford. Their offensive line, kind of dicey. I don't love their receiving corps. What are we talking about? Ryan Matthews? Give me a break with this Eagles team. This team is a joke. Like 9-1-1, it's a joke.
Yeah,
that's all
Philadelphia is a joke, and you know what? I let you go first because I wanted to see if what I thought actually lined up with reality, which it normally doesn't at this point in the non-season here. We're not even halfway through preseason. Well, I guess technically we're halfway through preseason, but I still have not put my NFL glasses on yet. I probably won't until October, but we'll see. Anyway, the point is, I wanted to see where you were going with this, and just by default, the Eagles are last for me. You got to throw them out there as dead in the water. Chip Kelly, a genius, you say. Well, this guy, what has he had? One half decent season. He beat the Patriots last year. What more can you say? That's all you need to be a genius, right? You beat Bill Belichick. You're a genius. I hope your team goes 4-12. Sam Bradford. Oh, Sam Bradford. People are looking. They're calling about Sam Bradford. People really are interested in Sam Bradford. We're going to get a nice first-round draft pick for Sam Bradford. Go try and put another picture on a big piece of whiteboard so you can display it for your players because you like to use pictures instead of words or hand signals. Dope.
Well, you show vitriol tonight. I love it. I like this anger coming out of you. Normally, you're just so dispassionate. I like it.
Yeah. Makes for a good show, right?
It does. Usually, I have to be the angry one. Like, that gets old after a while, right? People want to hear the really anger side.
That's right. Well, the NFL's here, so you'll probably hear it every week.
Nice. In any case, who do you have in third place?
Oh, I thought that would be you because I guess we're going to alternate here.
Okay,
no, it's fine. No, we can alternate. That's fine, too, because I'm just going to sound like a moron anyway because I don't really know much about your division right over there, buddy. And I'm assuming that pretty much everybody in the division is going to be better from last year because, boy, was it horrid. It didn't look good last year. But I'm actually going to put the Redskins third. And I think that this is probably going to be wrong just because they dumped RG3 and that I think he was a big cloud over their heads. But I just – there's something about that team. I just feel like they have a hard time putting together two good seasons in a row. And they were the division winners last year. So to me – again, by default, I don't think they're going to have as good of a season, and I'm going to drop them to 7-9 and hope that I'm right about your Giants making a little bit of a turnaround here.
Yeah, I am going to pick the Dallas Cowboys to be 7-9. Look, everyone thinks the Cowboys go, they're the most likely team to go from worst to first because the division is not that – I understand the division's competitive. You know who's not that great? It's the Cowboys. Their defense – look, their defense was last in the NFL last year, and that's factoring in the offense as well. You know, the fact that they ran a ball control offense, their defense was still last in the NFL. They're terrible in the fourth quarters. You can put it on, Tony Romo wasn't here. But you know what? Tony Romo doesn't play middle linebacker. Cowboys are still going to be bad. Or maybe not bad, but not like as bad as they were last year. Bad, but mediocre. And by the way, who thinks that Tony Romo is going to make the season totally healthy? Like maybe that'll happen, but like Tony Romo is like a 37-year-old dude who had back surgery and was out all of last year. Why don't we slow our roll with this Cowboys are on the rise narrative that I keep hearing? Because I don't buy it.
I don't really buy it either. I actually have them also at 7-9 or 8-8 type of thing, and second place here in the division. I don't trust Romo to be healthy again, and Dez Bryant already looks like might not be ready for the start of the season, right? So that team is, I don't think they're going to be anything special, and they, like you said, they were terrible on defense last year. And another thing, Calvin, they were also terrible at home. As bad as some of these other teams were throughout the league, if you look at teams that had a similar record of the Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco was pretty bad. They were 500 at home. The Chargers they had the same record, 4-12. They were 3-5 at home. Dallas went 1-7 at home. And to me, losing the last four games of the season as well is just a trend in the wrong direction. So, while obviously they are the candidate to go from worst to first, I don't think they're going to get all the way to first. And that leads me to your Giants, where you will be able to enlighten the people a little bit more than I will. But to me, the way I look at this Giants team is, it looks to me like Eli Manning is really going to have a chance to solidify his legend. His brother's gone. He's the only Manning in the league. He's the guy that people that follow that family are going to look at now. And I think he's going to have a lot of help from Odell Beckham Jr., man. That guy is a stud. And he is rising fast, and he's going to take another big step this year. I think you have something exciting over there. And this is, the one positive spin that I'll put on my NFL talk tonight. I think ODB is going to have another great season, and you should be excited and looking forward to watching him go to work, because I think he's a special player.
Well, look, okay. Yes, I feel like I'm slightly pessimistic on the Giants, or maybe I'm, right around where like most people have them for the start of the season. But this year, I'm optimistic. I see, like, all these preseason rankings and, like, predictions, and I don't understand why the Giants aren't getting any love in this case. And the reason I don't understand that is because they spent $1 billion on defense. They got all kinds of good, which was their main problem last year. The Giants were 1-7 last year in games in the final 2 minutes, and that was almost always, the defense giving up a touchdown at the end of the game because the defense was terrible and it was injured. They got back to injured guys. We have a bunch of new dudes on the defensive line, which already looks awesome. I'm not saying they're going to go 13-3, but I'm going to say they'll go 10-6. I don't think that's unreasonable, especially in this division. They have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. I don't understand why they're being picked third. I mean, I also found out that they were the most injured team in the NFL for three straight seasons before this one. So maybe that has to do with Coughlin and the way he works them. Maybe McAdoo will help in that case. But they've also been the victim of bad luck. The Redskins I have slotted right in between the Cowboys and the Giants at 8-8, possibly 9-7. I think that they're due for a slight regression, but not really that much at all. Maybe because I'm somewhat a believer in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. So basically, I think this division is going to be pretty much flat. I don't think there's going to be that big swing at the bottom where Dallas is only 4-12 or whatever last year. So I think you guys are going to be flat there in that division. On the other hand, we move to the AFC East, where my hometown Patriots reside. And Calvin, this to me is the most boring division in the National Football League. And that's not hyperbole in my mind. I think that there's nothing to talk about in this division. I'd rather discuss the battle between Minnesota and Green Bay in the NFC North. I'd rather talk about whether Carolina can repeat the type of season they had last year in the NFC South. I'd rather talk about Los Angeles getting a team in the NFC West. I'd rather talk about who Denver is going to have at quarterback in the AFC West. I'd rather talk about whether Houston is for real whether Indianapolis can bounce back. Can Jacksonville and Tennessee actually field a team? To me, that's a little bit more interesting than this AFC East. And to hit the AFC North right now, is RG3 going to be the guy in Cleveland to turn that franchise around? Can he actually stand on his own 2 feet and put a good team out there? Or are the heavyweights in that division still going to run things? The AFC East, which is what we're getting out of the way this week, because we always do it first, is the most boring division in the National Football League. It's going to go Pats, Jets, Bills, Dolphins yet again. Maybe the teams move within a game of each other. Maybe the Jets play the Patriots tough. But to me, it's not going to be good football this year. And the Patriots are going to find a way to pull it out, like they do just about every other year. It's getting old. We need some excitement up here in the AFC. Knock them around a little bit. Punch them in the face, in my opinion. How do you like that for an AFC East Division preview?
You want some excitement, Ray? How about this? How about Pats, Bills, Dolphins, Jets? If that's right, changing it up.
That's right.
What do you think is going to be the same as it was last year? Doubt it. Yeah. Do I expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to have another year like he had last year at his age and the way he's played throughout his career and the negative vibes going on with him and the Jets? I do not. I expect the Bills to be okay. I think Taylor will be better.
I agree with you there. I think the Bills are going to be right there at 8-8. I think the Dolphins might improve to 7-9. They will probably stay at 6-10. The one thing I would say about the Jets is that I give them an edge over those two teams because of coaching. I think Todd Bowles has done an excellent job there, and he will continue to do so. As much as I would love to see the Jets go in the tank, I think that they're going to be that would be my one thing to say positive about the Jets, is that their coaching staff is one of the best in the league, in my opinion.
I'm going to take that as a personal affront to Rex Ryan.
That clown, all he's missing is the big red nose and the wig. And the, well, I mean, I guess he doesn't dress up as a clown, obviously. But he is
the
Ryan
brothers
clown.
Are reunited then.
I know, that's going to be great comedy. We should probably make the Bills. I should probably flip it, actually, and put Miami ahead of the Bills because Rex Ryan and his brother. We'll see how long Rob lasts. You think Rob makes it to week 9 or what?
I think Rob will surprise people, man. That's what I think. How do you like that? How do you like that prediction?
Yeah, I think when he's not a defensive coordinator, he's probably good at his job. We can focus on something else. Anyway. That's our NFC AFC East division preview for this week. How do you feel?
I feel good, man. We somehow managed to make it through over an hour of show, and I did not anticipate that happening. Although,
well, especially after that little hiccup at the beginning there, where you ranted on your own for about 5 minutes.
Bro, that was like 13 minutes. I feel like
was it
13?
No, was it really that long? I thought it was.
It was a
my
long,
goodness,
it was a long time that I had to talk about myself.
I didn't think it was that long. We can go back and check, but I apologize for that. That
okay.
was a lot of user error and just frazzled brains, is what that was. Me not thinking correctly and just being confused about what the hell was going on and why I could hear you but I couldn't speak. Anyway, next. We have 20 minutes left. We're going to keep going because we have other things to discuss, and they are really fun and exciting. Where's this list? What happened? Oh, I don't know what you wanted to say about Yasiel Puig, but is it just the fact that he was basically cut by the Dodgers? Is that it?
Well, it was this. It was this. So the Dodgers traded for Josh Reddick, and then they sent Yasiel Puig down to the minors. What's that?
Sorry, I was going to say that was at the end of the list because we've you had a comment on fantasy football too.
Oh yeah. Let me get to the fantasy football point. You know what? Save it till next week. I'm already over it. I can't do more football right now.
All right, good.
You've beaten it out of me with your anti-NFL rants.
I love it. That's the point. That's right. Everybody should be playing this all day on loop tomorrow at work. Everybody, all 15 of you.
All right, so. Yeah, so. The Dodgers trade for Josh and Puig down to the minors. Apparently, Can you filibuster for a minute?
Filibuster for a minute. Okay, well, something happened to Calvin. He said crap and walked away. Yasiel Puig was a highly rated prospect for a little while. They paid a lot of money to have the rights to even sign this guy, and he was a good player. No, that's okay. And he recently came under fire for his cleats, and I don't know if that had anything to do with his poor performance on the field that led to him being sent down, but Calvin, was it more of an attitude problem or something? I know that he was playing like crap as well.
It was apparently an attitude problem, okay? All of his teammates hate him. Apparently it has something to do with him not... I'm sorry, my mom is at my door doing my podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring her on. You should bring her on the show.
No, I left some cups at her house. She just came by to bring me my cups.
That's so nice. Now, does she listen to the podcast? Because now she's going to hear herself in the background.
She does not listen to the podcast.
Well, maybe she should. We can get another listener. 16.
We get up to 1-6?
1-6, baby. No, that's just an arbitrary number. I have no idea. I haven't looked at our numbers in weeks because I am half-assing it. I'm lazy.
Yes, but so am I. And anyway, what was I with Puig? Sorry. Wow, this is a disaster.
You were just saying that it was an attitude problem. None of his teammates liked him. It wasn't on the field because even though he was playing like junk, people just didn't like him in general.
Yeah, but the thing is like, I don't think it's that he has a bad attitude. I think it's really more like the Manny Ramirez, like sort of oblivious, like do what you want kind of attitude, which is what he's had forever. But people are like, oh, now that he's not good, the team's not handling it. But he hasn't been terrible this year. He's still been like a slightly above average player. There's never anything specific about like what makes the Yasiel Puig so terrible, except that he's like not professional or not, you know, what they want him to be as a baseball player. I don't know. I guess my issue with him is he went down to the minors. All right, he hit a home run in his first game, and he apparently took all the minor league players like out to party after the game, and then he put pictures on Instagram, and immediately everyone's like, you know, you see if we're doing the wrong thing again. That's why they sent him down. I don't understand, like, what's wrong with that? Like, there's not a picture of him doing cocaine. There's literally, like, all it is a picture of him smiling and enjoying himself, and everyone's worried about him corrupting the minor league players. He's hitting 400 down there in the minors right now, mashing the hell out of the ball. I don't think he is what I was hoping he was going to be, but he's certainly a player that can help a team. I just understand why the team is going so far out of their way to bury him, and they don't really ever give a specific reason why.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. It seems like the good old boy network is at it again. You know, it's like they're trying to squash these foreign players that play with a flair that most American players don't have, and they're trying to make it this bland type of baseball again, where they're basically militarized or whatever. And that's just, I think. I'm obviously just strawmanning this right now and putting words in the mouths of the Dodgers executives that have sent him down. But the point is that, from my view, there are still a lot of people in baseball that look that or that feel that way. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, I can't really say this for the NFL because I don't really think that they embrace any sort of celebration or whatever. But, the NBA has certainly embraced any sort of foreign flavor and foreign players that they can bring into the league. They have promotional nights for pretty much every ethnicity you can think of throughout the league, throughout the season. So they definitely want to bring all walks of life to their game. and they changed the location of their All-Star game because of the transgender law situation in North Carolina. So they are very proactive in that regard. The NHL is an international game in its own right, and while maybe you're not seeing as many Latin American players in the NHL, you're still seeing a lot of foreign players that they celebrate in that league. And to me, it just seems like too many times baseball doesn't get it right as far as that's concerned. They try and squash the players that are different as opposed to putting them up on a pedestal with the rest of the league, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really have any other thoughts other than that, but thank you for indulging me briefly.
You're welcome. I was hearing some strange noises coming from outside my house here. I don't know what's happening. It sounded like somebody was yelling.
Maybe it's Lockie and Company.
Maybe it's the Lock Garage, yeah. Oh, I think it's my neighbors. They're like yelling in the backyard. It's pretty rare that I've had the windows open recently because it's been so hot, but I've got them open right now because there's a nice breeze. All right. So we kind of jumped that one up. We skipped the fantasy thing. Oh, yeah, Conor McGregor. You have any thoughts on him before we end this show? And or did you see SummerSlam 2 nights ago?
I did, but unfortunately I did not see the main event, which I'm assuming that's what you want to talk about, even though I know what happened, so we feel free to discuss
If we're going to talk about Conor McGregor, I was just going to briefly compare it to that, because that seems to be the popular thing to do, is compare professional wrestling to actual fighting, where people are actually trying to take each other's head off, as opposed to doing it by accident. But let's lead with the McGregor thing, because I didn't see that fight, but I wished I had, because by all accounts, it was one of the best fights in recent memory. And it actually snuck up on me. I didn't even realize that fight was happening until just like a couple hours prior. And I just didn't see it. I didn't go out for it or anything like that. And I wished I had when I was looking on Twitter and seeing that it was a good fight.
Yeah, it really was an excellent fight. I don't have too much on McGregor. What I'm wondering is, so McGregor spent all this time before the fight, you know, throwing water bottles at Diaz, just talking all kinds of epic levels of trash at him. They have this fight in which McGregor, you know, barely squeezes out a majority decision. There are people who had issues with the decision. I didn't. I thought McGregor won 3-2. So I would score, you know, 48-47, rather, if you want to go by technical score. So I didn't have a problem with that. But my question to you is, like, if you run your mouth that much, do you think that, like, squeezing out a decision over a guy who's already choked you out once, should he be quiet from now on, or would you rather see the McGregor who we've already been seeing, you know, continue at the same level at which he was going?
Well, honestly, I don't think he should be quiet until that third one happens. He went into the fight saying there was going to be a third one, and when I saw that quote, I sort of thought to myself, well, wait a minute, buddy. Like, I love your confidence, but you got to get there first. You got to put the top on that pie. You got to bake that pie before it's done, bro, before you can say that it's done. I'll tell you that much. It may be delicious, but you got to put it in the oven first. You got to win that match. You got to win that fight against Nate Diaz. And he went out and did it. So good for him for backing up his talk and just really taking it to him. But like you said, he squeaked it out. So he can still talk some more until the third one happens. And then if he doesn't win that one, I think people are going to have enough of him. And maybe at that point, he'll go somewhere that will embrace him running his mouth and being on the microphone. And that place would be the WWE, of course.
Correct me if I heard wrong, but did you just say you got to hop on that pie?
Hop on that pie?
I thought you said you got
to
hop on that pie.
You have to put the top on the pie.
Oh, but you meant like hop on the pie.
No. Like when you're making a pie, you put the filling in the crust, and then, I mean, some pies you just put right in the oven, but other pies you put the crust on top.
And you
never
just,
made a pie.
You've never made a pie. I suggest you make a pie someday, Calvin. It's very liberating.
I made a pie that you just put in the oven, but I've never made a real pie. In any case, let me ask one more question in regards to McGregor. I mean, in back to his trash talk. So after the fight, saw the fight with some friends of mine. These guys are all actually wrestlers, ironically. So we'll tie it back to wrestling a little bit here. They didn't like the fact that after the fight, McGregor and Diaz, after talking so much trash to each other, were sort of hugging, and you saw them, like, in each other's ears for a minute and giving each other a pat on the back. My friend was like, you know, you're throwing bottles at him. It made the entire thing seem fake to him, all the build-up, like, oh, it turns out you guys were just doing this for the show.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that.
Yeah. He was mad, not because... apparently they don't have that much animosity. He was mad because, in his words, like, he didn't want Conor McGregor to break kayfabe. He wanted him to, you know, continue with his character, even if he knew it was a character, so he could enjoy the fight. And he felt like it was sort of being ruined for him by McGregor's, friendliness towards Diaz.
Interesting. I mean, I guess it talks to the point that McGregor basically is just a big character of himself, a character, I should say, of himself, and that he hypes himself a lot, and maybe when he gets into the moment, he turns into a different person. I don't know. But I hadn't thought about it like that before. Interesting from a wrestler's perspective there, Calvin.
Yeah.
So I was going to tie it to Randy Orton getting busted open at SummerSlam by a Brock Lesnar elbow, but I'm thinking I don't really care to tie it to that.
Okay, well, but just to reference that briefly anyway, intentional or unintentional?
I mean, I don't know. I think everything Brock Lesnar does is somewhat intentional. I think that he goes aggressive every time. It doesn't matter whether he's in the octagon or he's in the WWE ring. I think that he goes over the line in everything he does. And whether I don't know what he said behind the scenes, whether he apologized or whether it was an accident or whether he just owned up to it and said, yeah, I went a little too hard, I hit him, or what it was, I don't know, but I would imagine that it had some intent there, and it's a weird line. There's a weird line. So for anybody that has no idea what we're talking about, in professional wrestling the other night at SummerSlam, Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar were in their match, and Lesnar started hitting him with some elbows and some fake fists, if you will. Because it's wrestling, right? We all have to appreciate that. Let's just acknowledge what it is. And one of the elbows caught Randy Orton in the head and made it look like he was knocked out. I don't know whether he was acting or whether he actually got knocked out. But a second elbow then caught Randy Orton again, and he sort of bleeding profusely while he was laying on the mat. And multiple times, Brock Lesnar went back to him and started sort of pounding on his head again and making it look like he was beating him up. After there were medics on him and referees trying to stop him. So the fine line that I'm talking about is, where did it go from being part of the storyline, which they don't try, they try not to use blood anymore, to being a legit mistake that Brock Lesnar was then going over the line for because Orton was legitimate hurt and he was going on with the show. I don't know where to draw that line. And the way his contract is structured with that company, Calvin, they're not going to say anything about it either. He's just not going to be around for a month or so. And when he comes back, they're just going to probably show some clips of it. And they'll write it into the storyline. So you're never going to be able to tell where that line was. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. At this point, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I've heard arguments on both sides. Like, I definitely don't think that they intended to cause that much blood. It's hard for me to think that, like, the match was supposed to end that quickly. and because then they followed it up with, you know, stalling for time with security, medical personnel that he had to push away, and then the whole McMahon thing. I think maybe it was supposed to end with McMahon getting involved in some way, but
yeah.
I don't think, like, that's how it was supposed to play out. I just have a hard time believing that. So maybe he was meant to be opened up, but, like, I'm sure they had that discussion. I mean, if he was, but I think that the ferocity of the elbows just took it much further than probably either guy intended.
Yeah, man, Brock Lesnar strikes again, and there's our WWE Minute here on Careless Whispers. I hope you enjoyed it. That's going to do it, I think, for us. Calvin, you have anything else you want to say to the people?
I hate the effing Eagles, man.
Yeah, we're going to have that clip next week, promised by Liz. I asked her about it already. She's going to find it for us and figure it out. That clip will be there to use when we're talking about the NFL and how putrid the Eagles hopefully will be. All right, Calvin. Have a good week.
All right, buddy. Good night, everyone.